This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Salam wa baraka ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du, fa nas'alullah azza wa jalla bi asma'ihi al-husna wa sifatihi al-ula an yaj'alana wa iyyakum min al-mustami'in lil-qawli wal mutabi'in ahsanahu. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه ثم ما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحان الله. Today has been a day of traveling. I started at 9:30. I traveled to another part in London, then to the other extreme in London, and then I just arrived now from the other extreme in London. So it has been a day of teaching. Subhanallah. Today we are going to talk, inshallah, I was on my way here and I thought it would be important to talk about the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ahad Al-Wahid. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why I don't have the book of Imam Al-Ghazali with me. Very often I just talk without knowing what I'm about to say. So, khair inshallah, I hope it will be beneficial. So, the first thing we need to know when we look at the name Al-Wahid or Al-Ahad, and we say the first one. But what we need to know is that the first one with regards to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean a numeric first. So there is not a competition where there is a first one and a second one and a third one. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwal and al-akhir. He is the first and the last and there is nothing in between. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwalu bil-abtida wal-akhiru bil-antiha. This is what they say, Allah is the first one without a beginning and the last one without an end. So His presence, He's al-hay. And al-hay means the living one who always had life. And His life is not taken from external or internal factors. This is just His being. He is Al-Hayy. And we humans and everything else are in need of external things to be able to continue living or existing. If this room were to, crush us or become smaller and smaller, at the end we wouldn't be able to continue living because we wouldn't have space. If we don't have air, we will die because we can't breathe. And if our heart stops working or our lungs stop working, we no longer live. So we are always dependent on external and internal factors to be alive. While nothing threatens Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's life. While nothing can interfere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's being Al-Hayy Jalla wa Ala subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah being the first and the last, as we said, the first one without a beginning and the last one without an end. The Prophet Muhammad said, Shaytan will keep on pushing you, asking, SubhanAllah. Try to wait with saying Yarhamukallah until I say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Yahdikum Allah wa yuslihu balakum. So they say, you say Yarhamukallah to someone who sneezes, because when he sneezes, there is such a power behind sneezing that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to have designed our eyes to close during sneezing, that they would just pop out of our, of our face. And when you sneeze, it is with such a power that it could actually stop your heart. So they say, when you say Yarhamukallah, it's like you were about to die, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you life again. You see? SubhanAllah. Okay, so now, he's the first one without a beginning. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, someone will keep on asking, okay, this one, Allah created this one and that one and such, until Shaytan will push you to say, but who created Allah? And he says, when you come to this stage where you ask yourself this question, then this is from Shaytan. It is not from your intellect. Because the intellectual being who thinks with his soul and with a pure state of mind will always be guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fitrat Allahi lati fatara an-nas 'alayha. And this fitra, Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah azza wa jalla, mentioned, is qabiliyatul insan an yu'mina bi rabbil insan. It is that every human being has been given the possibility and the clarity within himself to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being his Lord. And they say that if a human being were to be left alone without any outward influences or outward manipulations, that he would know that Allah exists. You see? And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, كُلُّ إِنسَانٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every human being is born with the fitra. Yani the pureness of accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the One, as the Lord. And Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah azza wa jal, he says that even with our aql, if we were to be left alone, and that our soul would believe in a creator, because just by looking at things, we come to the conclusion that everything is made. Everything is made. Like even if I were to... Sorry, I'm looking for something. Sorry. Okay, this here. If I would say this simple thing here wasn't made, nobody would believe me. صح? This is something without structure, without life. It doesn't reproduce itself, doesn't breathe, has no lungs, has nothing. But nobody, no scientist in the entire world would believe me if I were to say that this just came into the mosque without someone putting it here, without someone creating it. Everybody would say, if I were to believe that, they would send me to a psychiatrist. They would say, this man has gone... Somebody got a tissue, please. Is there, it's behind you. Yes, you can throw it. It's okay. No? I had a sheikh throwing with candies at us. With every Eid. He was a very serious sheikh. He still is. But with Eid, he gave us a smile. And then he threw candies. The candies were never enough for everybody. So he got people fighting. And he looks at his students. So then at the end, he understood that everybody wanted a candy. So he started throwing more. Anyway, so if we were to say this, then everybody would declare me crazy, right? So we know just with the aql that everything which exists, no matter what it is, has been created. Khalas. A part, according to the scientists, the world, the universe, the moon, stars, sun, the human body, the eye, the brain, the kidneys, whatever. When my father was very sick, he had a machine cleansing his blood. I don't know how you call that. Anyway, huh? Dialysis. Back in the days, I talk about 18 years ago, it was like 2 meters high, was like 1 meter width, and it was plugged in. All this machine was replacing something that doesn't weigh even 500 grams. Subhanallah. This machine needed, had to be plugged in. We don't plug it, right? We just walk around, everything, nobody sees it. If I were to say this machine has been created, not been created, they would say, you are crazy. But when I say my kidney has not been created, they say, you're right. Yeah, yes, sir. How many people did you need to design this machine which eventually will break down one day? How many people did you need to think about how to do it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first one to do it and the last one to do it. And nobody can reproduce what He produced. Even now when they say, we will be the first one that will create a human being, we say, okay, if you do, then don't use anything from the human being. If you say that you can create and decide whether he or she is going to have blue eyes, blonde hair, brown hair, black hair, we say, okay, if you are special, then use nothing which originates from the human being. And if you can't, you're just using Allah's creation. And so at a certain point, Imam al-Ghazali says that if you now are left alone, you will be born with this fitrah, the qabiliya. It means that a person will believe in one maker. He says, how? Okay, in a maker, okay, but how in one maker? He says, because when there are two people in charge, at a certain period in time, there will be chaos because they will choose to disagree. And the world is in harmony, showing that there is only one. Is this clear? And then he said, and when you look at creation, to make things, you are in need of knowledge. You're in need of wisdom. You're in need of power. You're in need of knowledge, of so many more. He says, so just by leaving a person alone, one, he will believe in a maker. Two, he will believe that the maker is one, not two. And then he will believe that the maker is wise, powerful, that he can do what he wants, that he has knowledge and everything. And then he will come to the conclusion, just by his aql, that this Lord needs to be worshipped. And then because he says then, because he knows that his Lord is from the world of the unseen, then there must be someone the Lord has sent to show him how to be worshipped. So he says, merely by your aql, you will come to the conclusion that there is a maker that needs to be worshipped and a prophet that has been sent. This is when we have no impressions, false impressions from the world around us. If we were to be left alone. And this is al-fitrah. Fitrat Allah التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله ذلك الدين القيم. This is the deen we are naturally inclined towards to. And this is why you find that in a lot of European countries, at the end they will adapt their laws, and very often it will pend more and more towards Islamic laws. Not everything, but a lot of things. Like, you know, drinking, no, it's dangerous, drink a little bit less. Even now they are thinking about segregation and this. So they're thinking about so many different things. But it's not in the name of religion. Last time I went to Antwerp, I saw a road sign with a man with a can of beer, it's an official one, in his hand, like this, and with a stripe like that. No drinking allowed in these streets. If we were to demand this, they would say we are the Taliban of Europe. Police controlling. Did you drink? Did you drink? Did you drink? If a Muslim would do, did you drink? No extremism. So everything which is good, but in the name of religion, is considered to be dangerous, to be threatening our way of life, while we are actually saying in very, very often exactly the same things, but from another perspective. And why and what they are saying now is something which we have been saying for 1,400 years. Why? Because this is Deenul Fitrah. Allah is Al-Awwal. So He's the first one to do everything, and nobody can reproduce what He does. And He's the first one to show which path we need to follow to prosper and to be saved as a whole, as the human race, if we were to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because why? As Allah being the first and the last, He knows the results of everything He says and does. The human being doesn't. Like 50 years ago, cigarettes, Marlboro, yes. L&M, help. Publicity and everything was allowed. And now, when everybody's got cancer, when everybody's ill and sick and people are addicted, all of a sudden, photos, no longer allowed to say cigarettes, it's a cancer stick. And so all of a sudden now, it's haram or not haram, you need to pay more. The problem is when people are addicted, they are ready to pay more. Like this packet of cigarettes that was like £3 is now maybe £10. I mean, it increased and people are smoking as much as they were before. It didn't decrease. And now this electric cigarette, within 10 years they will do exactly the same thing because it's worse for the health than just smoking. And light cigarettes are even worse than normal cigarettes. And the nicotine in cigarettes in Arab countries is 7 times more than the nicotine in Europe. And the sugar in Coca-Cola and Fanta and so much more in Arabic countries is more than the sugar here in Europe. So to cut things short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
we would be guided towards the One just by being left alone. And this is why Shaytan is on the way of the fitrah. Shaytan is not, you don't have to go to look for Shaytan in with drug addicts. He's not there. That's got nothing to look at. You know, it says, okay, khalas, they're occupied. If you want to look for Shaytan, look in the mosque. Look when you are reading Quran. Look when you try to find your way to Allah, which is the fitrah. And the thing is, that which you feel that you are always looking for, this happiness, you always feel that there is an emptiness. You're looking for it. You try to find it in buying new shoes, buying a new car, buying a house, building the future. And subhanAllah, every time you get there, you feel that still there is something missing. Why? Because we are nurturing the mind, the body, and our intellect, but we're not nourishing the soul. And the hunger we are feeling is the hunger and the yearning of the soul to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the fitrah. We want to be connected to the One, because we are zero. And when zero is added to the One, it's times 10. Huh? Zero, if it's connected to One, what does it become? 10. So now we are always longing for this. And this is what we feel. And we won't be happy unless we feed our souls with connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the fitrah. So now to come back to Shaytan. Shaytan, subhanAllah, he's actually very funny, because he's like, everything he does is obvious, but nevertheless, his biggest goal is for us to forget that he's trying to fool us. How often do we think about Shaytan? Just when we sin, Shaytan, it's also the nafs. But we forget that Shaytan is trying to give the impression to Muslims and non-Muslims alike that paradise can be found on the face of the earth. And this is why he's trying to perfect the life in dunya, the bodies, to make this internal, Botox, 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 he's trying to give you this internal youth, which can only be found in Jannah. He's trying to give you the eternal perfect villa. When you live in a villa for 10 years, it needs to be painted, it needs to be reconstructed, it needs to be, subhanAllah. So we're building in this life, but Shaytan, he said, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He said, I will establish myself. I will be a resident. I will be an obstacle on Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Mustaqim is your way to Fitrat Allah. It's your fitrah to be on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is why people whose souls are alive, when they sin, they feel sad. They feel it like a heavy burden. Say, what did I do? Oh. Even your eyes feel heavy. Your brain feels heavy. You feel that you are uncomfortable in your own body. This is when your soul is alive. This is when your heart is alive. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you spiritual light in your heart. So Shaytan is on the way of the fitrah. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطِكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And he said, subhanAllah, so many things he promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the One and being the first, and there is no one before him, and his being first is not connected to time, and there is no competition, as I said. So وَالْأَوَّلُ فَلَيْسَ قَبْلَهُ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْآخِرُ فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الظَّاهِرُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَهُ شَيْءٍ, and so forth. He's the first one without beginning. He's the last one without an end. So now the question which arises is, if he's the last one, well, aren't our souls everlasting? We will be forever in paradise. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, forever and ever. So how can we now harmonize between understanding that Allah is the last one, no one will be after him, and us ourselves, inshallah, being in Jannah forever? Well, Allah being the last one isn't depending on someone. It doesn't depend on someone or something. Us having an everlasting life is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting us this life. Does that make sense? So every moment in time that we exist is subjected to death and is subjected to absence if it were not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting us this life. So our life is not a true life in a certain sense. It is always in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating this life for us and making our bodies and souls everlasting. Is that clear? So when Allah's everlastingness doesn't depend on anything. He is. And we, when we live forever, it's thanks to Him. So we are subjected to death, but He chose not to, and He chose to keep us alive, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important to make this difference, to make a difference between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being everlasting and us living forever and ever. And our living forever is connected to time, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of time. We are subjected to time. Allah is not subjected to time, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't share the same dimension with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So now, He's the first one and He's the last one. Nothing is before Him, nothing will come after Him. So now, from a ta'alluq point of view, from a spiritual connectivity point of view, when you know that He's the first one, you should know if you have an idea that no one had before you, Allah knew this before you knew it. And it didn't come out of nowhere. It came from Allah. And He wanted to use you to make a part of His knowledge known to mankind. So every new invention is nothing more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveiling a part of His knowledge to mankind, because He wanted it now and not 100 or 200 or 300 years ago. Allah decided when someone would think about making an airplane. When, and this is why some of the scholars say about the verse وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, Allah says that He created the horses and so much more. And they said, and He creates what you don't know yet. He creates. Huwa. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we, when we, you know, think of new things, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِعِلْمِهِ I said it wrong. Yala Ayatul Kursi, help me out. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. They will not encompass anything of His knowledge apart from that which He wants. You see? So He subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are inspired to do something new, you come up with a new idea, you're not the first one. Allah is the first one. He knew this and He granted you this knowledge. And when you have this knowledge, like Jeff Bezos, for example, from Amazon, you don't know. Really, the Amazon guy, you don't know him. The bold man who is building a watch in a cave to celebrate within 1,000 years. And you know Amazon? Okay. Jeff Bezos. Yes. Anyway, I mean, he's not that rich. He only has 160 billion. So, I mean, but after he split up with his wife, it's public, and he only has 60 billion. So they say he came up with an idea in his garage, exactly like many other social media, you know, hypes started in their garage. He wasn't rich. We go back 10 years ago, it was in his garage. Everybody's saying, you're a fool, you don't know what you're doing. He said, no. People can come out things here, then I quickly run to the shop and then I deliver it myself. I have a little percentage. There you go. 160 billion. What mankind did, mankind can do. But who came up with this idea? Allah. Why did He give it to this person? Or to Zuckerberg, like Facebook? Why to them? Well, because it's their test. It's their test. When Allah gives you an idea. And this is why when Sulaiman alayhi salam received the throne of Saba, of Bilqis, the queen of Saba, and it was a very magnificent throne with diamonds and pearls and a human being wouldn't be able to carry it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the jinn at the service of Sulaiman. So one of the people of the jinn who were given knowledge of the book, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, I will bring the throne before you can blink your eyes. And he came, there it was. And it was such a heavy throne. I mean, people wouldn't be able to carry it because they were building it while it was in its place and always making it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So anyway, and when Sulaiman saw this, he said, this is a test from my Lord, liyabluwani, to test me whether I'm going to be ungrateful or whether I'm going to be grateful. So everything we receive was already known by the one who preceded everything. And he made it take place in your life so that you would show what you are going to do with it. So when you have a new idea, you are immediately humbled in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why a Muslim inventor or a Muslim doctor who finds a remedy for a disease will be humbled. Subhanallah, the stronger we become intellectually, the stronger we become physically, the more humble our souls become in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we know it's from Him. And we were His object of choice through which He wanted to manifest His knowledge. So this is very important to always keep in mind. You know, subhanAllah, your intellect, your capacities, your power, your, it's all from Allah, the One, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who injects it in whom He wants. Is that clear? Okay. So هو الأول فليس قبله شيء وهو الآخر فليس بعده شيء. SubhanAllah. And our everlastingness will be interrupted. You see? When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everlasting, meaning without a beginning, without an end, and there's no interruption. And there is nothing which preceded His existence. There was no nothingness for Him. For instance, هَلَ تَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا, says Allah in Surah Al-Insan. Wasn't there a time where the human being was not even mentioned? Not in the world of the angels, not in the world of the jinn who preceded us. He was not even mentioned, nowhere. But now look, Al-Insan, here I am. Like Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said, if you run fast, know that there are animals that run faster than you do. He said, when you are strong and can carry things, know that there are animals that can carry heavier things. He said, and if you know how to sing very well, know that there are birds that sing much more beautifully than you do. So he said, whatever you do, there are always animals that will do it better than you, apart from one thing, worshipping Allah by choice. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. We brought the human being to the lowest of the lowest degree. Yani the degree of animals. And then you can climb out of this by turning into a better human being with good qualities, with not just going by your instincts and desires and passions, but by your intellect, your etiquette, norms and values. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So now Ibn Hazm said, no. Don't be proud of anything you do because animals are better than you at this. Apart from sharing, apart from giving, apart from self-sacrificing, apart from, by choice, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasting, praying, visiting the sick. Through all these things, we distinguish ourselves from the animal kingdom. This is what makes us humans. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ, says Allah, and we have honored the human being. By what? العمل الصالح والإيمان. By believing and by good deeds. So now, as we said, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't preceded by nothingness, and it was never interrupted. We, a certain moment in time, we were not even desired by our parents. When they just got married, they weren't talking about Sulaiman and Umar and Nu'man. They weren't. It's when you came into existence that they say, Nu'man, Sulaiman, Umar, I'm sorry, Umar, I'm sure they all were expecting us. It's just to give you an example. Like even our own parents and grandparents, we don't have to go very far. We were not even mentioned. And now we think we're important. We are between being not mentioned and being not mentioned. So if you live between being not mentioned and a future where you will